Please take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 12. Today's Sunday, March 10th, 2024. We're going to the Gospel of John, chapter 12, to begin this morning. I'm assuming that many of you like to read the Bible. Yes? Oh, good.
Yes.
Because we're going to do some reading this morning. This month leading up to Easter or Resurrection Sunday, we're looking at our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And last week we looked at the man, Christ Jesus, and saw that Jesus Christ was indeed a human being. If you missed that, it's up on the website. You could listen to it. This morning we're going to look at Jesus Christ, the Master Teacher. And I think most people are familiar or have heard about Jesus Christ and the great miracles that he did. And he certainly did many. I mean, if you read the Gospels, you see Jesus Christ operating the power of God time and time again. Dan covered one of those on Thursday with the blind man. But also, as you read the Gospels, you see Jesus Christ teaching people God's word. And he taught large crowds, smaller crowds, even one-on-one. And we're going to look at that a little bit, but before we observe him teaching, here in John chapter 12, at the end of this chapter, Jesus Christ in verse 49 said, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father who sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Isn't that awesome? Many times you read in the Gospels where Jesus Christ quoted the scriptures, God's word, right? But when he wasn't quoting scripture, he was still speaking God's word. Because as it says here, he spoke the things that the Father told him to speak. And if he was speaking what the Father told him to speak, then he was, of course, speaking God's word. In Mark, back up to Mark chapter 1, in Mark chapter 1, verse 21, "And they went into Capernaum, and straightway, on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes." Jesus Christ wasn't wishy-washy when he spoke and taught God's word. He taught with authority. And I'm sure you know there are a number of occasions in the Gospels where he was confronted by the religious leaders of his day and time. And in those records, you can see where Jesus Christ not only taught with authority, but he was very direct in his conversation to those religious leaders who rejected him as the Messiah. We'll look at that in just a few minutes, but go to Luke chapter 4. Speaking of the teaching ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, many times this section in Luke 4 is often referred to as the opening of his public ministry. And it's very worth noting as we're considering Jesus Christ, the Master Teacher. So in Luke chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 16. "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up." Hometown. This isn't like a strange city. Nobody's ever heard. People know him there. "Where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read." In those synagogues, when they read the scriptures, they stood up when they read, as respect and reverence for God's word. "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias." or Isaiah. And the book, it wasn't like our Bibles that had scrolls back then. So they handed him the scroll of Isaiah. And when he had opened the book or the scroll, he found the place where it was written. Easy for us to find places because of chapters and verses. In the scrolls, there were no chapters, no verses. So he opened it up, found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, which would be like humble to the meek. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the scroll. He gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. If you keep your finger here, we'll go to where he quoted Isaiah chapter 61. We're coming right back. But let's see what he read. A few of the words be a little different because what we're reading here in Isaiah 61 is a translation from the Hebrew. But Isaiah chapter 61, kind of in the middle of the Bible. But we're coming back to Luke. So he took the scroll, opened it to this part right here, and read Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And, he didn't finish that, did he? He stopped when he said to preach or proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He stopped right there in the middle of that verse and didn't keep reading, where it says, the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. The day of vengeance of our God is the judgments. So back to Luke chapter 4, he stopped reading. And two things that we saw prophesied there in Isaiah 61. It was a prophecy of something coming in the future, the acceptable year of the Lord, and also what was prophesied, the day of vengeance or judgment of our God. Two things in the future that were prophesied. Jesus Christ did not read the rest of the verse that said the day of vengeance of our God. Verse 19 again, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto him, this day, today is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Today, right now, this scripture, what a bold statement to say. Jesus Christ couldn't read the day of vengeance of our God and then say, this scripture is fulfilled today in your ears. Because the day of vengeance or judgment is still future. That day is still future. How accurately Jesus Christ knew the scriptures. You know, we talk about rightly dividing the word of truth, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing. Look at that, to stop right in the middle of that. It's really amazing. That prophecy that he read in Isaiah referred to the coming Messiah, the long-awaited Christ. Can you imagine being in the group that heard Jesus Christ say, today, right now, this scripture, this prophecy is fulfilled right in your ears? Why, they should have been overflowing with joy. Really? Because the prophecy was about the coming Messiah. This scripture is fulfilled right now. Oh, what joy they should have had. But did they? And all, verse 22, bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? What's going on here? This is Joe's kid. He's in his hometown. Everybody knew him. That's Joe's kid. That's Mary's boy. You know, you read in Matthew where it said he couldn't do many mighty works in his hometown because of their unbelief. Because they said, this is the carpenter's son. We know his brothers and sisters. Look at this. Can you imagine when you think about what he said is happening now right in front of you? This is Joe's kid. What is this? Well, they didn't really receive it. And Jesus Christ did not apologize. And he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. There's another verse that says, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. So true it is. But I tell you, verse 25, of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of, that's Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, there was no rain. It was a horrible famine. You can read about that in 1 Kings 17. There were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah when the heaven was shut up. There were shut up 3 years and 6 months when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of the widows of Israel was Elijah sent except to Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Not to any widows of Israel, no. And then he said, and there were many lepers were in Israel at the time of Elisha. And that, I believe, is in 2 Kings 5. There were many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet. None of them were cleansed except Naaman, the Syrian. Woo! And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Oh, my goodness. And not only that, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, led him to the brow of the hill where on their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. That is some major rejection. Oh, my. They just wanted to throw him over the cliff. They got a little bit offended. How bold he was with authority. Why? Because he was one of those guys that just liked to get under people's skin. They rejected this fantastic prophecy that the Messiah was here and said, this is Joe's kid. Verse 30, but he passing through the midst of them went his way. Now figure that out. You got a crowd of people taking you to throw you off the cliff and then he just passed through them. He walked big with God. And he came to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone! What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? Yeah, they know their end's coming. When Christ comes back, we win, they lose. I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. You know, the devil's kingdom knows exactly who Jesus Christ is, and it's a shame sometimes people don't know. It was a shame on those people to reject him. So anyway, Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace. That's a nice way of saying, shut up. Hold thy peace and come out of him. He was casting out the devil spirit out of this man. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. What a night! This could have happened in Nazareth, but they rejected him. Verse 41, and devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. Don't leave. Let's stay here. We're so blessed. The other folks in Nazareth wanted to throw him off the cliff, and these guys are saying, don't go anywhere. Just stay here with us, would you? And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. He was sent to preach, just like we read in that record of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Chapter 5. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. Don't you love that? Oh, there could be a day like that in our country, where people are just so hungry to hear the word of God. They pressed upon him to hear the word of God. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. When you're all done fishing, they washed their nets, got them all cleaned up. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. You know, it's just, you know, Peter, can I borrow your boat for a little bit? Which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out just a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, when he was done teaching, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets, plural, for a draught, or a draft. Hey Simon, why don't you just head out there a little ways and let down all your nets? And Simon answering said unto him, pardon me, but we are the experienced fishermen around here. You're a great teacher, but fishing's our trade. We know all about fishing. I added that in there, but Simon answering said, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Bad time for fishing. And they would know. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Singular. Jesus said, let down your nets. And when they had thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoning unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. What a haul. We've been fishing all night. There's nothing out there. Really? When Simon Peter saw it, he got all into condemnation. He fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me. I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Should have believed you. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught or draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. You will be a fisher of men. In Mark chapter 7. Isn't it just thrilling to see the Lord Jesus Christ in action? Oh my goodness. Mark chapter 7. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. Here they come. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands often, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and dishes and tables and all this. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, they went to Jesus and said, why walk not your disciples according to the tradition of the elders? They eat bread with unwashed hands. This is a disgrace, Jesus. What is going on? He answered and said unto them, well has Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it's written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You are just like Isaiah prophesied. Honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Ooh, getting very direct. And he went on, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. And then he said, full well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. Man, he wasn't pulling any punches, was he? And then he gave him an example. For Moses said, and that's God's word, right? Honor thy father and thy mother. And whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. In other words, they should have taken care of their mother or father, but these super religious people said, well, I'm going to do a nice gift for God and be so holy. And neglecting what the word said for their tradition. Verse 13, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things you do. I don't know if they were expecting that when they came to Jesus and said, your disciples aren't washing their hands. Really? Let's talk about it. Woo! Verse 14, and when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. Listen to what I have to say and understand it. There's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. It was a pretty short parable. And he said unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without enters into the man, it cannot defile him? He's talking about eating. Because it enters not into his heart, but into the belly, and goes out in the draught, purging all meats. You guys understand that, right? You eat food and then you poop, right? Okay. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, talking about the heart now, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Man, he just was the master teacher. Look at Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, it says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. This was a teaching to the disciples, not the multitudes, those that went on the, you know, they could go up the mountain if they wanted to hear. I got to climb the mountain. I haven't brought any food with me. It's like I ain't going to drive an hour. It goes, Anyway, this was to the disciples, those that chose. And this teaching up there in the mountain is chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. We're not going to read it. But I would encourage you sometime to just read those three chapters, 5, 6, and 7. One of his beautiful teachings. Longer teachings that's recorded in the scriptures. And really, the next time you read in the Gospels, take note of Jesus Christ's teaching ministry. He was indeed the master teacher. And by the way, we're going to cover Jesus Christ, the master teacher, in much detail at the weekend coming up next month in Spokane. Be looking at how he taught, when he taught, a number of other things. He was indeed the master teacher. There's no comparison of anyone else who ever, even people in the scriptures, Paul, Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Jesus Christ was still the master teacher. And, you know, this morning we've just barely scratched the surface concerning his teaching ministry. And to get a better scope, just read all four Gospels sometime. Just start in Matthew and it'll just amaze you. You know, whether it was a multitude, whether it was a small crowd, a few people, or even one-on-one. You know, in John's Gospel, look at what he taught Nicodemus. It's just the great truths. Just one person. You would think, wow, that was a fantastic teacher. We need a bigger crowd for this because this one's really important. Or the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Look at the great truths that he taught her. Really something. And we're going to continue next week looking at the master teacher when we get into next week, the Last Supper. What a night of teaching that was. It'll be just wonderful. Look at Mark chapter 3. Before we close, I'm going to just look at a few verses about others preaching God's word, which is something Jesus Christ, the master teacher, was very concerned about. In Mark chapter 3, I think that's where we're going, Mark 3. Mark 3:13. And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12, these are the 12 apostles, that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. And then it names the 12. And you can read in the Gospels where Jesus Christ sent the 12 out. You can read where he sent 70 out to preach God's word and to heal. Like in Luke chapter 10, where he sent the 70 out. Luke 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Good thing to keep praying about too. Verse 16, to the 70 he was telling them, he that hears you, hears me. Because they were going in Jesus Christ's name to preach the word that he had taught them. He that hears you, hears me. And he that despises you, despises me. And he that despises me, despises him that sent me. No wonder he got so upset. I mean, so bold, we'll say, in Luke 4. They rejected him as the Messiah, and rejecting him is rejecting God. After the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ was still very concerned about his followers preaching God's word. Back up to Mark chapter 16, a few pages back. Mark 16, This is after the resurrection. Mark 16:15. This is to his apostles. He said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Preach the gospel. And we see very similar in Luke 24, last chapter of Luke. A couple more we'll look at here. Luke 24. This is on the day we call Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, the first appearance of the resurrected Christ. And of course, the disciples are behind closed doors, got everything locked up. They, you know, they don't know what's going to happen. They're sad, they're hurt. And then he just stood right in the middle. Mm-hmm. Didn't even knock. They didn't need to open the door. He just, boop, hi. And they're like, ah! And he's like, it's me, it's me. And they're, touch me, handle me. They're still, you got any food? Look, watch me eat. So once he got them settled down, verse 44. And he said unto them, Luke 24:44. He said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. That's what's so important, is to understand God's word. And he said unto him, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you're witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry, wait ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." You go forth to everybody, but wait till you receive Holy Spirit. Wait till you get power from on high. Isn't that amazing? All nations, which reminds you what it says in John 3:16, God so loved the world, everybody. But wait, he said, till you receive. Have we received the Spirit of God? Yeah, we have. Acts chapter 1. So I guess we don't have to wait. Because the only thing about waiting was wait till you get the Spirit of God, and then go. Go for it. Mm-hmm. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. This is on the day of the ascension, when he ascended into heaven. Verse 4, Acts 1:4. "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with Holy Spirit not many days hence." And it was like 8 days later. "When they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" Are we in the end times? All right, stop it. "And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But," let's get back to what I was talking about, "you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Hallelujah. And as you know, on the day of Pentecost, they did receive. Have we received? Yes. Good. Then we can go forth. Romans chapter 10. These verses in Romans 10 that we're going to read, really cool that they come shortly after what the scriptures say about how to get saved. Confess the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Well, how then? We're in Romans 10, 14. "How then shall they call on him of whom they've not heard, not believed?" Right? "How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Well, look at your feet. They're beautiful. Two more. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. What a great privilege it is for us to be able to share the gospel, the good news. It's such a great privilege. It's a privilege, whether it's a large group, small group, little group, or one-on-one, it's a privilege to share God's word. What an awesome privilege. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, when it's convenient, when it's not convenient. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I want to hear something new and exciting. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Wow, sounds like that was written today. Verse 2 again, preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Preach the word. We close in 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 15 of 1 Peter chapter 3. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And the way you do that is by putting God's word in your heart. Put the word in there. And then be ready. Be ready always. To give an answer to every man, every woman, anyone that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear or reverence. It's not like we're know-it-alls and we know everything and I know scriptures and I've memorized this. God doesn't need ego heads walking around. He needs humble people with a desire to reach people with the great good news of Jesus Christ. And salvation and redemption. So we sanctify the Lord God in our hearts, and we're ready always to give an answer to anyone that asks us a reason of the hope that's in us. We're ready to preach God's word. Jesus Christ was indeed the master teacher. He taught God's word, and we too, as born-again believers with the Spirit of God in us, we too can preach God's wonderful word. And as I said a few minutes ago, we barely scratched the surface concerning the teaching ministry of Jesus Christ. I mean, if we really wanted to do it, we'd first read all four Gospels together, and then we'd break for lunch or something, and then we'd go back, and there's just a lot in there. Next week, we're going to look at the Last Supper. What a fabulous night of teaching that was by our Lord Jesus Christ, the Master Teacher. So, Father, thank you for the great insight the scriptures give us concerning our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who walked with great power, who performed many miracles, and Father, who was so great at teaching what you said he should say, teaching your wonderful word. Thank you, Father, we have him as a great example that we too can share your wonderful word, and that, Father, I pray we could have open doors for people that are hungry, for people that do want to know, for people that want answers, that want truth, that, Father, we can lovingly share your wonderful word with them. So thank you for everyone here today and on the hookup and those that will hear the recording. And Father, may we have a wonderful week ahead, trusting you and having an opportunity to preach the gospel. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.